We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Colleen Wolf of NFL Network. Colleen, a host with NFL Network. You can follow her on Twitter at Colleen Wolf. You can see her every Thursday on NFL Game Day kickoff at 5 p.m. Central, leading up to the Colts-Texans this week on Thursday. Colleen, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Colleen, with you being a native of Philly and now living out and working in L.A. with NFL Network, tell me, what is the most overrated food? Philly cheesesteak or Internet burger?
Oh, come on. I spent like $70 on cheesesteaks when I was home on Friday. So, like, I'm a cheesesteak girl all the way. In-N-Out burger, nah, not for me.
How are either one of those overrated?
I think they're both overrated. I lived in Philly for a little bit. It was good, but it was overrated. And so was In-N-Out burger.
Well, I think Colleen's on my side.
I feel like you went to the wrong spot.
Did I?
Well,
let me know where I need to go next time. I'll be out there in Philly again this year. So let me know where I need to go. Where's the place to be?
Okay. I got some spots for you.
Colleen, after this Texans loss to Baltimore, 41-7, what do you think that they, from a national perception point of view, whenever you try to classify contenders, almost contenders, pretenders, where do the Texans fall in place for you?
Well, the Texans, up until this game against the Ravens, for me, they were a really dangerous team, and they still are. But obviously, the AFC is just like so jumbled right now, and the fact that the Colts won last week and then jumped up in the playoff picture, it's just tough because that offensive line with Deshaun Watson, they had been protecting him really well. And that was the biggest sticking point for me, at least, just watching the way that he was able to operate with a clean pocket versus not. And the fact that I thought that maybe some of the things were kind of solved, some of those issues that they were having. And then against the Ravens, they were all a problem again. It all came kind of crumbling down. And so for me, that's really a giant concern, which I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Colleen, I want to jump into the Texans for sure or dig into the Texans a little bit more. But before I do that, I want you to talk a little bit about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. We knew they were good going into it. We knew that Lamar Jackson was getting better and better as the year went along. But, you know, after you've seen them, 10 weeks, 11 weeks? I mean, how good are they? How good can they be? Where do they rank in the NFL for you?
I think they're one of the scariest teams in the NFL. And I know that the Patriots, every year, it seems like there's some type of problem at some point in the year and people start to doubt them. And right now, that's the issue. It's their offense. And can this offense kind of carry the team? It's something that we haven't seen a lot from that team. It's their defense that's winning the games. It's their special teams, and it's not their offense that it's carrying them. But I honestly feel like this Ravens team is a major, major problem, and it really could be for the Patriots. The way that they are winning these games, the confidence that they have, and Lamar Jackson, just in general, the jump that he's made from year one to year two, I love it. I love that he's been able to shut down all of these haters that called him a running back, said that he wouldn't be able to develop his passing game. The things that he's doing on the field, he's doing it with such ease. He is making people, just embarrassing people out there. And now the defense is coming together as well. I feel like John Harbaugh just like reset his entire career and just gave himself so many more years. I mean, remember when his seat was hot and everybody was talking about, oh no, like the Ravens and Joe Flacco. It's like all of a sudden that move that John Harbaugh made last year to put Lamar Jackson in there has just saved that entire coaching staff, really.
Colleen, you were there at Ground Zero last Thursday night in Cleveland when Pittsburgh and Cleveland got into their whole ordeal. Talk to me about what you saw when you were there and that experience, and then also Answer me the question of this. Do you think the NFL got it right with the suspensions and the fines that subsequently followed?
So, first of all, it was the most outrageous thing I've seen. It was the wildest scene to especially end a game, but really the craziest thing I've seen on a football field ever. And we were out there, it was at the very end of the game, obviously, and they were pulling the stage out for Thursday Night Football. And that's how close we were to the end. I mean, I had taken all of these copious notes the whole game. I had all of these like fantastic stats. I was so excited. I knew exactly like where we were going, and I had so many fun things I wanted to bring up. And then all of a sudden, you heard all this commotion, and I saw all of the benches clearing, like a brawl, like a baseball brawl, like something you would see in hockey. And it was at the other end of the field. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a pretty short person. So even like the fact that I'm not the tallest person, the fact that it was at the other end of the field, we couldn't see anything, and they would not replay it in the stadium. So all we heard at first was Joe Buck and Troy Aikman being like, oh my God, look at that. There's going to be some suspensions. Oh my God, look what he did. And we're like, what is happening? Somebody needs to show us what is happening. And so finally, after what seemed like an eternity, they were able to set up a monitor so we could run over and they could replay the highlights for us. But even then, they were replaying like cut down versions of it. So we weren't even seeing the full kind of event unfold. And so we finally saw it, and this was moments before we went on. So we didn't even have really a minute to digest it, talk about it, figure out how we were going to deal with it ourselves on the show. And we were just all of a sudden live. And that was a really interesting, I think, challenge for us. Plus, I really didn't think that the Browns were going to give us a guest at the end of that show, or at the end of that game for our show. And I was really surprised when they had Jarvis and Odell come on for us to kind of ask them about it and talk to them about it. It was something that, you know, the lapse of judgment from Myles Garrett was just so unbelievable. And I just could not believe how reckless he was. And I'm not saying that Mason Rudolph, his hands were completely clean in this, but obviously the reaction from Garrett was not anywhere near warranted based on what had happened on the field. I mean, this was such a breakdown on so many different levels, and it was just so selfish, I think, of Myles Garrett, because not only did he physically hurt Mason Rudolph, but he hurt himself, he hurt his team. This is something that is going to stay with Myles Garrett forever, just in terms of his reputation and the way that people think of him on the field. That's going to be the first thing that comes to mind. And he's a guy that had a really good reputation before that, a kid that is, I've talked to him so many different times. I talked to him when he was coming out of the combine. I've talked to him at many games at training camp this year. He's soft-spoken. He's hyper-intelligent. He is so many things that are not what we saw on that field, but obviously that is in him, and that is something that is going to follow him, I think, forever. Now, in terms of the NFL and how they handled it, I think that the fact that they came down the next day, I thought that was great on their part, that they didn't mess it up in terms of swiftly acting and suspending him indefinitely. I think that you can't have him play the rest of the season for that. This is a league that is trying to promote player safety and clean up a lot of hits and make it better for the game and for future generations. And, you know, when you're wielding, you're dragging somebody by their helmet up and then taking their helmet off their head and then hitting them full speed with their own helmet. This is a giant dude. Myles Garrett is a big buff guy. Like, that just can't happen. So I think that the fines, they needed to come down with fines and suspensions immediately for both sides.
Yeah, certainly a bizarre event that happened last Thursday night. Colleen Wolf of NFL Network is joining us. We're hoping it's not going to happen again this Thursday night. What are the biggest storylines for Texans-Colts from your point of view?
Well, I want to see how Deshaun Watson and the Texans, their offense bounces back here in this game. I know that we talked about it a little bit with their offensive line struggling against the Ravens, but Deshaun Watson, he's going to have to deal now with Justin Houston and Jabal Sheard, who they do a really good job of pressuring quarterbacks. And I know the last time that he played the Colts, he ended up throwing two interceptions. So after the game last week, getting completely blown out, you know, I want to see how he reacts, because the Colts do have a ton of vulnerabilities on their back end. So he has some pretty good matchups for his wide receivers if he can just get past that pressure. If his O-line can keep him clean for a little bit, then he'll be able to find those guys and find those mismatches.
How about T.Y. Hilton coming back off of an injury to play the Texans, who he's, I think the stats are somewhere along the lines of 16 games versus the Texans for about 1,600 plus yards. Over his career. I mean, how surprised are you that he's going to be at least active this week versus the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge boon for Jacoby Brissett, considering Marlon Mack is going to be out for this game. And obviously the Texans have a really good run defense, so I'm not sure how much Mack would have been able to do on the ground, but having T.Y. Hilton out there is obviously massive, because last game he didn't have T.Y., he didn't have Paris Campbell, and those guys, Jacoby, he needs. He was just coming back off of the injury. So he needs his guy T.Y. out there. That's his main dude. And I was looking back, I think last week, that was the first game the Colts have ever won without T.Y. Hilton being active. And so you just kind of see the effect that he has, just having him active on the field, even if he isn't 100%. He's a guy that defenses have to respect no matter what.
Carleen, before we get you out of here, there are a bunch of former Hall of Fame caliber running backs and players that are at the NFL Network right now, and some of those guys have different styles. Some of those guys dress better than others. If you had to pick one guy between Maurice Jones-Drew or LaDainian Tomlinson or Michael Irvin or Steve Smith, which guy do you think has the best sense of style on the NFL Network staff?
Oh my God! I'm gonna get crushed if this gets back to them.
We won't let them know, Colleen. We won't let them know.
Listen, how about this? I will say that I think Michael Irvin has the most electric sense of style. I think that he gets people talking the most about his style, and I do feel like he has the best cut suit. I think that Steve has some really good cut suits too. I don't know. See, I'm a big a good tailor is a big deal for me, so I appreciate that when I see it. But I don't know, because LT, I saw him yesterday rocking one of the most beautiful suits. So I will not be tricked into answering this question.
Down here in Houston, we're big on style now. We got James Harden here down here. Yeah. We got Russell Westbrook down here, DeAndre Hopkins. We got a lot of stylish cats down here. So we just had to get that insight. But you're not going to give us anything.
Who do you think?
If I had to pick one guy that I would dress like mostly, I would probably say Steve Smith has the best style out of all of them. And LT, that's my guy, but I'd have to go with Steve Smith.
Yes, Steve's got some really good ones. He brings out like the really nice ones on Thursdays. When we used to do our Sunday show together, he would be like, yeah, like he would sometimes, I think, recycle in ones that he previously wore on Thursday. But I feel like Thursday is like his big suit debut day.
Colleen Wolf, NFL Network host, and you can follow her on Twitter at Colleen Wolf. You can see her this Thursday on NFL Game Day kickoff at 5 Central leading up to Colts Texans. Colleen, thanks so much. Have fun Thursday.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.